Welcome to the Lion's Tribe. I am Pastor Jimmy Odukoya. I pray this episode blesses you and it reminds you to become the lion that God has called you to be. Be blessed.
Today is Resurrection Sunday. And the last time we had, spoken? The last two Sundays, I preached on the cost of mercy. And we talked about the price that Jesus paid. The ultimate price. He was like the lamb led to the slaughter. He did not contest it. He willingly submitted his life, laid it down, and paid the ultimate price for you and for me. And if we're telling the story of salvation, first, that we have a God who would come to die for his creation or his subjects or his followers is quite unique to the Christian faith. Because what you will find in most other religions is where the followers have to die to appease their deity. They must offer sacrifices, and most times even themselves. But the Christian faith is unique where our God came to die. Now, that in itself, it's quite unusual that Jesus would come to die. And if it stopped there, you know, it's a unique idea. It already sets the Christian faith apart. But when you look at all other religions and other faiths, their central figures, which there are many different central figures of different faiths, they came. They lived their lives in such a way where each other faith will say, this is a way you should be modeled after. You know, good people on earth did things. But everyone born of a woman died. And that's where the story ends. They came, they lived, and they died. Now, what we believe and what we know is that Jesus not only came and died, but he took it a step further. He resurrected. What separates us? The cornerstone of our foundation. The complete story. Half of the story is that he came to die. The complete story is that not only did he die, but he what? He resurrected. And you see, this word, resurrection, is a big debatable word or concept or ideology. Because you will find in other faiths that some other faiths believe in life after death. Some people believe you take on different forms. Some people believe that based on how you lived your life, you can be, you know, when you come back reincarnated as a dog, a dove, you know, depending on how you lived your life. Some people, you become other people. But some people believe that once you die, that's it. We live in the here and now and that's it. So resurrection is debatable. And this concept or ideology of resurrection is not something that is just being debated today. It's been debated for as far as we know it, even going back into Jesus' time. Is there such thing as a resurrection? Can somebody in flesh die and resurrect? And this conversation splits the church of the Jews or the temple or the synagogue back in the day, or the scribes, the two sets of thoughts. You had the Pharisees and you had the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in resurrection, the Sadducees did not. And this was a huge topic of conversation. Is there such a thing as resurrection? Matthew 20:22. I want us to start there. Because there was a heated conversation happening, and they go to Jesus, and they want to get his take on it. Matthew 22, let's go to 29. And it starts by saying, a bit of context, and because of my time, I won't read it. It says that the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection, and there was a whole story about what if a man has a wife, he marries her and then dies, and then his brother marries and dies and marries, seven brothers marry and die. If resurrection, whose wife will it be? That's a valid question. As we have all married at some point in time. So if there's resurrection, Jesus, since you say there is, answer, whose wife will it be? Look at Jesus' reply. Put 29. Matthew 22, not 20. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 29. You have to work with me. Okay. But Jesus replied to them, what did he say? You are all wrong because you know neither scripture which teach the resurrection nor the power of God, for he is able to do what? That's a bold statement. Continue on. For in the resurrection, neither do men marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like what? Angels in heaven who do not marry nor produce children. Continue on. But as to the resurrection of the dead, he says, because this is what you're really after. You have brought this story, but this is what you're after, resurrection. But as to the resurrection of the dead, have you not read in scripture what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Jesus says to them, he is not the God of who? But of the. So he says, let's settle this conversation about resurrection. Is there such thing as a resurrection? Yes. Why? Because God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am not the God of dead people. I will not refer to them as in the present. That means that they are alive because I am the God of the living. So to answer your question, is there such thing as resurrection? The answer is yes. Let's start there. Now, as we continue, Jesus made some audacious statements. The audacity of God to make certain statements. And that was one of the problems that the Jews had with him, because he made some statements that, as far as they were concerned, were heretical. How can you say that? John 2, 19 to 22. Put that on the screen. John 2, 19 to 22. Jesus is having a conversation. And he has gone into the temple and he has scattered everything. He said, you have turned my father's house into a house of thieves. I cannot stand for it. And then they were challenging him and saying, by which authority do you do these things? Look at 19. Jesus answered them. What did he say? Destroy this temple, and in how many days? And in how many days? And in 3 days, I will what? Continue on. Raise it up. Then the Jews replied in anger. It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. Sir, are you all right? So are you mad? Are you delusional? How can you say, do you know what it took to build our temple that represents the presence of God? This is where God resides. And you are telling 46 years. And you say, you build it in 3 days. Ah, they were angry. But what does the Bible say? He was speaking of the temple, which was what? So when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. He was talking about the temple. And this temple was his body. And he was telling them, even before the crucifixion would come, this is what is going to happen. This temple, you will try to destroy it. But in 3 days, I, notice what he said, destroy this temple. Take it back. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, who will raise it up? He says, I, me, myself, will raise it up. Now, if he was talking about his body and himself, he's already telling you that he has the power and the ability to give life. Not that my Father will raise it up. He says, I will raise it up. That's an audacious statement. So what are you saying, Jesus? You're saying that you have the ability to give life, to conquer death. In you there is life. In him was light, and this light became the life of men, that you are life-giving? Huh. He was making some audacious statements. Now, it culminates in John 11:25. Put it up there. I'm looking at my time. John 11:25. Jesus first said, destroy this temple, and I will bring it up. Raise it up in 3 days. Now, John 11:25. Jesus makes another statement. And what does he say? Let me introduce myself to you. You know, when you meet somebody, I say, hello, my name is. And you begin to tell them who your name is. If they've never met you, allow me to introduce myself. Jesus was having a conversation, and he says, let me tell you who I am. Jesus says, I am what? The resurrection and the life. So in other words, resurrection is not an event that happened. Resurrection is a person. It is not a debatable event, it's a personality. You can question process. Did it not happen? But you cannot deny a person. Whether or not you like me or not, if I enter a place and you can see me, whether you want to choose to act, it does not change the fact that I am there. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He takes it a step further. Whoever, not some people, not the ones that are saved, not the ones that think like you, or look like you, or believe like you, or sin like you. Yeah, that got really quiet real quick. Some people, the saved, the church, no. Whoever. Put it on the screen. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, relies on me as Savior, what will happen to them? They will live, even if, hold on. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I have the ability to give life. It begins to make sense when he said in Matthew 28 that all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Heaven, spiritual realm. Earth, physical realm. In other words, anything that will pertain to you in spiritual matters, the answer to me. Anything that will affect you in this physical realm, it answers to me. All authority in the spiritual, in the celestial environment, answer to me. Anything you will be plagued with in your physical answers to me. So whether they want to fight you in the physical, they must answer to me. Whether they want to fight you in the spiritual, they answer to me. In every realm you are covered because all authority has been given. In heaven, there is no spirit that is spirit enough that the spirit past Jesus. There is no principality or power that is power enough. All authority, anything that pertains to you in your mortal body, sickness, worry, anxiety, pressure, failure, shame, all authority given to me. They must answer to me. So if you're dealing with anything spiritual or natural, supernatural or natural, you are in good company. I am the resurrection and the life. Not only am I the resurrection, but I have the ability to give life also. Because if you believe on me, if you rely on me, if you adhere to me, I will make sure that the highest, the biggest event that sums the totality of your human existence that no one has ever defeated is death. But if you believe in me, I will make sure you live after death. Because death is a physical construct. And anything physical answers to me. Because all authority has been given to me. Resurrection is not an event that happened. Resurrection is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Are you here with me? Revelations. I believe it's Revelations 1, 18 or 19. Jesus says, let me go there very quickly. Peter is writing. Go to 17, Revelations 1, 17. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. Look at your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. If the resurrection and the life tells you not to be afraid, then do not be afraid. How many remember when we were growing up as kids, whether we were afraid of a dog or something, and in those times our fathers and mothers were superheroes, they were larger than life, they could do no wrong, they were bigger than every situation. As a matter of fact, I remember, I don't know if I've told the story before, you know, my father's mother's mother, yes. I didn't get the chance to meet my grandmother on my father's side, but I got to meet my grandma. No, not my grandma, my great-grandma. I got to meet my dad's grandma. We call that granny. Hey, the fear of granny is the beginning of wisdom. Granny was larger than life. She was a small woman, but she was larger than life. Anytime you saw granny, you must pay tax. You can't just come and she'll come, oh, yeah, it's my money. And granny will collect her tax. After all, is it easy to be alive this long? Put it under her bed when she passed. Before granny was larger than life. And I remember this day. Now, Granny only spoke Yoruba. And as you can tell, you know, my Yoruba is a work in progress. You know, I understand it, but speaking, you know, I will not allow you to put me to shame. So sometimes I only, you know, it's funny. Anytime, you know, my Yoruba is fluent is if I'm acting and I enter a certain space, I just imagine myself, my Yoruba will just come out. Many times before they say action, I'm trying to say the words. The director is afraid. I said, don't worry, just have faith. When he say action, it will come. And he always used to come. Or whenever I was surrounded by area boys. You people don't know. The places I've been to in Hollywood. When I was in Boundary Market for 7 days. Some people don't know where Boundary is. You're too tush. Najegule. Those area boys are not... there are levels to this area boy life. That one is a whole different level of... When I was there, for my Yoruba was fluent. Try me. It was coming out with... Even my walk was different. When you're in Rome, act like the Romans. You become what the armor outside the walk. Get on. Timber. Toilet. Boss. But the point was, unless I digress, my granny only spoke Yoruba. And on this day, my granny and I entered into a fight. We're fighting. Now, how do you fight when I only speak English and she only speaks Yoruba? Enter in my cousin, Sheo, Atikende's first son. He was the interpreter. Such an instigator. He was enjoying it. So Granny will speak to me. Sheo will interpret. I'll be angry. I'll speak back. Sheo will laugh. Tell Granny. I don't know what had happened, but my granny and I were having a major fight. And then I told her, I will tell my daddy for you. My daddy. Because that is the ultimate authority in my life. He is the Superman. I said, I will tell my daddy for you. Do you remember those times when you were afraid? And as soon as your father showed up or your mother showed up, even if you were afraid and he says, give me your hand. Even if you're afraid, you put your hand into the hand of your daddy and you trust that because your father is here. I said to her, I'll tell my daddy for you. And my granny laughed. And that annoyed me even more. My granny said, oh, your daddy, the one that I changed his diaper. Said, my granny said, oh, when your father comes back, I will beat you. I will beat your daddy. I'll beat both of you together. I was angry. I don't know why I even told you that story. But it was the fact that I believed that because I believed in my father, there was nothing that could touch me. There was nothing that could affect me. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, nothing can affect you. No sickness is sickness enough. No death is death enough. Revelations 1:17, he says this, I am the first. Continue. When I saw him, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Continue. And he placed his right hand on me and he said what? Do not be afraid. The one that is asking to put your hand in his is telling you, do not be afraid. There is nothing you will face in this earthly realm that I cannot handle. Do not be afraid. The biggest fear we have in life is dying. And he says, listen, I've been there, I've done that, I've conquered it, I have the proof to show. So guess what? Do not be afraid. You know, the most dangerous man is a man that has nothing to lose. The worst you can do is threaten me with death. And as long as I know that if I believe in him, I cannot die. That this is just an earthly suit. And if I believe in him, I will live for eternity. And do your worst. That's why the disciples will say, to live is Christ, but to die. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Continue on. I am the first and the last, the absolute deity, the Son of God, and the ever living one, living in and beyond, living in and beyond, living in and beyond. So this is just a temporary thing, a space and time in the line of eternity. After this, there is beyond. But I am ever living. I am living now and in eternity. Oh, death, where is your sting? Living in and beyond all time and space. I died. If they had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. What the devil thought was his ultimate ace was a setup for the master chess player. He had it in his mind all the time. Sometimes it may seem like your back is against the wall. Sometimes you may go through things and you're asking God, why are you allowing it happen to me? God has an ace up his sleeve. He says, I died, but see, I am alive forevermore. Forevermore. Your God is living. Your God is not one that died. He's alive forevermore. He is here now. He's here with you in your present. He's here with you in your future. Even beyond where time and space ceases to exist. I am the first and the last. I am in time and beyond it. If time could constrain God, he would not be worth worshiping. I am the first and the last. I died, but see, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of absolute control and victory over. I have victory over death and of Hades, the realm of the dead. So, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But I think the best way to end this, I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians. And oh, I love Paul. You know, the more I read Paul, the writings of Paul, and he so eloquently talks about the resurrection. Oh, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read this to end. I'm going to read quite a lot. I'm going to jump in different places. Now, this is Paul, the lawyer that he is, making an eloquent argument for resurrection. This person, this thing that happened, this debate over if Jesus is really alive. Look at this, verse 3. He says this, put it up there, 1 Corinthians 15, 3. He says, for I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to that which the scriptures foretold, and that he was buried, and he was bodily raised on the what? According to that which the scriptures foretold, that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12, after he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. You see, you cannot destroy what people have experienced. If you want to question, did Jesus die? He did not only appear to the, did he resurrect? He did not only appear to the 12. He appeared to 500 people at the same time. The majority of whom are still alive at the time, but have fallen asleep in death. Then he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely, prematurely, traumatically born, so humble, he appeared to me also. For I am the least worthy of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I, at one time, fiercely oppressed and violently persecuted the church. Jump to verse 11. So, whether it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed and trusted in and relied on with confidence. Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is what? If we are preaching about a dead God, let's all go home. Let us not waste our time. If the one we are serving did not rise, our preaching is in what? It is useless. Put it on the screen. Stay, keep it on the screen the whole time. It is what? Useless. Amounting to what? And your faith is also vain. It's imaginary. It's unfounded. It's devoid of value and benefit, not based on truth. Stay with me. We are even discovered to be false witnesses, misrepresenting God. Why? Because we testified concerning him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is what? Your faith is worthless and powerless and mere delusions. You are still in your sins and under the control and penalty of sin. Then those also who are falling asleep in Christ are what? If we who are abiding in Christ have hoped only in this life, in this temporary strait, in this drop, in the expanse of eternity. If we who are preaching to you are only hoping in this life, and this is all there is, then we have all people most miserable. And to be what? If the basis of living your life is based on here and now, if we are doing all we are doing for this place, where we cannot take anything with us, nothing that we will do amounts to nothing in eternity. If there is no eternity, then let us all live our lives. Let's not waste our time. But if we are living for today and now, and that's all there is, after death, there's nothing, we are the most miserable. We are to be most pitied. Because we have nothing to show. In other words, everything you do in this life, it surmounts to nothing. That's why Paul says, he says, everything I am, I count it as dung, as manure, as waste. Because at the end of the day, all this is just for here and now. And this is just a short time in the expanse of eternity. If everything we are is based on living here and now, then we are the most miserable. Can we continue? But now, verse 20, as things are really are, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead. And he became The first fruits, that is, the first to be resurrected with an incorruptible immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who are falling asleep in death. For anyone who has lost a loved one, because Jesus became the first fruit, showing us how it will be, that there is a body that is incorruptible. If your loved one has died in Christ, because Jesus Christ died, he became the first fruit to show you what is attainable, what is possible. Everyone who dies in Christ is alive. Jesus became the first fruit. 21. For since it was by a man that death came into the world, it is also by a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ, all will be made. Somebody say thank you for Jesus. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected with an incorruptible, immortal bodies at his coming. Jump to verse 29. Look at what he's saying. I'm almost done. Otherwise, 29. Jump to 29. Otherwise, what will those who are being baptized for the dead? Or what will those do who are being baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, question, why are people even baptized for them? Jump to 32. What good has it done for me? If merely from a human point of view, I have fought with wild animals at Ephesus. If the dead are not raised at all, everybody, here's what we need to do. Let us eat and drink, enjoying ourselves now. For why? Tomorrow. See. One thing that we cannot mortgage, that we cannot debate, we cannot negotiate, is that all of us are going to die. From the moment we are born, the stopwatch of our life begins to tick. And every day, imagine a revolving belt or escalators. You know the ones that keep moving? Every day, we're moving closer to our... You cannot go back into your mother's womb. So every day you're alive, you're moving closer to your... death. It's inevitable. You cannot bargain with it. I say, death, how far? How much? Maybe just all of us will. And since we know that death is inevitable, if there is no resurrection, why are we disturbing ourselves? Let us all eat and drink, because at the end of the day, are you with me? At the end of the day, we will what? Die. Jump to verse 35. Now, for somebody who is a skeptic, who is a philosopher, who is a thinker, but you're talking about this resurrection. How do people who die when their heart stops beating, how can you talk about them being made alive? Paul continues to answer. 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised? And if they die, what kind of body will they come? And he says, you fool. Every time you plant seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up and growing, unless it first, the seed you sow is not the body, the plant, which it is going to become. But it is the bare seed, perhaps of some wheat or some grain. Jump to 42. In other words, when you put a seed in the ground, what comes out is not the seed. So the seed is not the shell. The seed is inside the shell. In other words, we, just like human beings, we, our earthly suits, is not who we are. It is the shell of the seed. But when we die, incorruptible must shed. Corruptible must shed to become incorruptible. This must shed so that we, who we are, is made alive. I'm looking at my time. I need to end 42. So what is with the resurrection of the dead? The human body that is sown is what? Is perishable and mortal. It is now raised imperishable and immortal. It is sown in dishonor and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and it is raised in strength. It is sown a natural body, mortal suited to earth. It is raised a spiritual body, immortal suited to where? As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a what? For it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, an individual. And the last Adam, Christ, became what? A life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. 47. This first man, jump to 47, Adam, is from earth, made of dust. This second man, Christ, the Lord, is from where? Is from heaven. 53. You see this idea? Is there life after death? Paul continues, for this perishable part of us must put on this imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us that is capable of dying must put on immortality. There is life after death, and we must put on immortality, which is what? Freedom from what? Who the Son sets free. You are free from death. Where others are panicking about what will happen, we have been set free from death. And when this perishable, 54, puts on the imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then the scripture will be fulfilled. See, the scripture must be fulfilled. What scripture will be fulfilled? Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Vanquished forever. Oh, death. Oh, death. Where is your victory? Oh, death. Where is your sting? There was celebration when they crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they thought they had silenced him forever. But oh, death, where is your victory? And they put him on the cross. And he hung high. They spread him wide. And he died low. And they took him off the cross. And they put him in the ground. And they rolled the stone. Oh, death, where is your victory? And the first day, they thought that this was it. Can you imagine the state of the disciples thinking, we have given our lives for this man. He was the one that was supposed to come and deliver us. He was supposed to be the Messiah. And we watched him die. What is to become of us now? What have we lived our life for? What have we given ourselves for? He's gone. And there was celebration. Because the devil thought, aha, since he became man, I can kill him in his earthly form. I cannot kill him in his spiritual form, but I can kill him in his earthly form. And there was jubilation. First day, second day, but we know that he went down low and he went into Hades and he went and took the keys of death and collected it and said, what you used to hold over, to keep people in bondage and control them. Give me the keys. It's not yours. You've only had it because you were a tenant, but I'm the landlord. And I own the keys over death. Submit the keys of death into my hand. And he collects the key. And on the third day, when he did all he wanted to do, death said, it's enough. I cannot hold you anymore. Because even death could not hold him captive. Death had to spit him out. And on the third day, they went back to look for the perishable. They went back to look for the corruptible. They went back to look for the Jesus that they put in the tomb. And all they found was a man. He said, why are you looking for the living? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? This Jesus that you saw has resurrected. He's alive. Oh, death, where is your victory? When we lose loved ones, we do not mourn as those who do not have hope, because he is the hope of mercy. He is the hope of mercy, because he lived, because he came, because he died. He has given us the ability to live life after death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, those who adhere to me, those who trust in me, they will not perish after death, because I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. They will live forevermore. So where we have seen death as this hopeless place, this hopeless experience, this hopeless destination where we will all fall to, he has taken over that experience and has made it a transition into the best part of your life, into the best part of your existence, into the best part of your eternity. So I say to you today as I close, if you want to come from death to life, not just life, he says, I have come that you may have life, but not just life in this physical realm. If it's all about today, here and now, please, let's all go home. Let's not disturb ourselves. But if you want to live after death, if you want to live in eternity, and Jesus became the first fruit to show you that it is possible, and he became the first offering of the Father, so anyone now can pass through. He has explored and destroyed the gates of death and has now created a pathway for all of us to walk through. Now we don't have to fight with death anymore. The door to death has been opened. The key has been taken, and he has opened it to us. So those who believe in him shall not perish. You will not die, but you will have what? Everlasting life.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that you were blessed. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to subscribe. And if you know a fellow lion that needs to join the tribe, please be sure, send them this link, share this episode. God bless you.